eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 PFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Hello, David.
Hi, how are you? That's a nice introduction.
Hey, it's very nice to have you along. My name's Big Hungry. I don't think we've formally met.
No, good to meet you.
I've always been a big fan of the Spaced Out segment, though, so we're pleased as punch to have you along.
Oh, great. I'm glad to be on a Tuesday.
Right on.
Cool. Hey, so fill us in on, we'd heard that you had made it over to the USA to witness the solar eclipse.
I did. One thing about eclipses, we know about them well in advance, so you got no excuse for bad planning, I guess. I was over there. I went with a tour group, so I didn't have to drive anywhere and do anything. It was all put on for me, which was really nice.
Lovely.
The one thing they couldn't do was control the weather, unfortunately. So it was clear in the morning, it was clear in the afternoon, but in the middle of the day it got cloudy, so... I mean, I saw the eclipse, but I didn't see the most important part when the sun was completely covered by the moon. I missed the totality, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You didn't think, oh, quick, let's get in the bus and drive 100 kilometres down the road and see if we can get around this cloud?
Let's keep this bus above 50.
Well, even if we'd like to, it probably wouldn't have been possible because there's, so many people going to see the eclipse. I mean, there's 300 million people in the States. And that whole path went from one coast to the other. And there were warnings and notices on the news for at least a week beforehand, basically telling dumb people that when the eclipse comes, if you're driving along the motorway, don't stop and look at it, all that sort of thing. But the traffic on the roads was just so great as people made their way to see the eclipse. We actually had to leave at 6 in the morning from where we started out.
Whereabouts were you?
I was up in North Carolina.
Okay.
The Pisgah National Forest. It's actually an old NASA observatory site. They used it in the 60s and 70s as a satellite tracking station because in those days they didn't have satellites to relay radio signals and so on. They had to have ground stations. Later on it became part of the Department of Defense. You couldn't even see it. It was removed from maps. That's how secret it was at that stage. Then it was closed down, and now it's a civilian research place with 4 radio telescopes. So there's plenty to do and see while we're there. It was really interesting and fascinating, but just the eclipse itself didn't quite nail it.
Hey, David, just while we're talking about, looking at the eclipse, and you're not supposed to, but you're also going to see the eclipse, that's quite a conundrum, isn't it? What happens, one, when you look directly at an eclipse? Are we talking like fried retina sort of stuff, or?
Well, if you don't have protection, it could well be. I mean, this, especially if you like use binoculars or something, yeah. It's just like as kids frying ants with a magnifying glass, that's what it'll do to your eye.
My, how the tables have turned.
Yeah. Well, if you're not taking care or being a bit silly, yeah, that's right. Even when it's close to totality, there's enough energy from the small amount of sunlight sneaking around the edge of the moon to still do damage.
Right.
Yeah. But, I was unfortunate not to be able to experience that. The crickets chirped and the birds were chirping, thinking it was night time.
Ah, cool.
What,
an
really?
An hour later, they chirped because they thought it was morning again.
Sucked in.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, when you're in the States, did you get down to Texas at all?
I did. I actually arrived there. I took the direct flight from Auckland to Houston. Mm-hmm. So I went to the Space Center there, and from there there's a little tour you can do at the Johnson Space Center where the mission control for the space station is there and the astronauts are trained there. So that was really fascinating. 2 weeks later, it was flooded out.
That's crazy. It was crazy. I also visited that particular NASA site in about April.
Yeah.
And it's so humbling to see how...
Flooded, though? Did you say flooded out?
With a recent cyclone.
Oh.
It became an island.
No, like a little moat around it kind of thing.
Well, no, it's just all the roads around it were flooded. The car parks were flooded. So there was essential personnel only.
Crikey.
I mean, they still had to maintain contact and command of the space station. They actually returned astronauts during all this. So they still had to keep on going. Normally, in a normal work day there, there's over 3,000 civil servants who work there and about 15,000 contractors.
Wow.
I mean, it's a huge, huge place, 30 buildings, you know, it's a massive place.
Have you been there before? Was that
no,
your first visit?
No, that was my first time.
How did you rate your experience of actually seeing some of the hardware firsthand?
Oh, 10 out of 10.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Very expensive.
I'd give it 11 if I could, you know.
Did you stop and see Saturn V and sitting in the hangar?
Yeah, I actually saw it twice. They had two different tours, and I went on both of them on successive days. Mm-hmm. So one of them, you went to the old mission control, which is now used as a training facility. And the other one, you went to the space vehicle simulation facility where they test all the different vehicles like the Orion spacecraft, the rovers that are going to go to Mars and all sorts of things. You can actually watch them working.
Yeah. Wow.
Did you get any special treatment because you kind of coming from the background? Were they like,
no.
Did you get a nod or a special handshake?
No, none of that. Nothing okay. like that. Most of them don't even know where New Zealand is.
That's meant trying to discover the universe, but they don't know where New Zealand is. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, you're taken around. The Space Centre is, you know, for the public, and you pay your money. It's just like a museum or whatever. And they take you across, and you're a visitor to Johnson Space Centre where they actually do the work. So you're not allowed to leave the little trolleys that you travel on. You can't just wander around. You've got to stay with the group, and it's very highly controlled.
Do you think that with the current government that there will be a bit more funding for the activity at the Space Centre there? Because we talked to some locals, and they said that under the Obama administration, they'd sort of pulled back on a lot of the space funding. But possibly with Trump coming in, that they might get a little bit more?
Yeah, it's not so much the actual total as where it goes and what the priorities are.
Got all those
and again,
models.
With Obama, I don't think it was that he didn't like space. It was just the times, the economics and so on. What Trump, I think, is interested in is, you know, as any president would, is getting Americans onto Mars. Mm-hmm. But before that is to do some space mining.
Space mining?
Yeah, so going to an asteroid and
minerals.
Getting valuable minerals from an asteroid.
Crikey.
Well,
and facilitating it. I mean, I'm not saying that President Trump wants to go there. But
so we can make more touch screens and stuff.
Might be a good idea to send them there, but anyway.
How far away are we from doing some space mining? And how can you pick an asteroid out in space and go, that's the one with all the gold on it?
What do we need? What do we need from an asteroid that we don't have on our own planet as well?
It probably wouldn't be gold. It wouldn't be worthwhile. It would cost too much. It would have to be other precious elements that are in short supply. I mean, there's a story that, or an analogy, that if you were to go back to the moon and found a huge pile of purified gold that aliens had forgotten about and left on the surface of the moon, all you had to do is bring it back to the Earth. The cost of doing that would be greater than the money you get back from that gold.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be space gold, so.
Yeah, so it has to be something more valuable than that. And again, there are different arguments because, I mean, if you started bringing back huge amounts of whatever it was in short supply, well, you're going to change the economics back on Earth because you've increased the supply. Well, then the demand's going to go down, so it becomes cheaper. So
space drama.
Totally.
Hey, lastly, David, what's going on at the Stardome at the moment?
At Stardome, we've got International Star Trek Day coming up on Friday.
How big is this? Is this like a? This is, sounds like it would be quite an event. People
well, around the world, yeah.
Right.
At Stardome, we're showing Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. So it's a movie night at 8 o'clock on Friday night. Tickets are $25 for adults. It includes drinks and snacks. It's R18, so if children come along, obviously they can't have a drink, but they can come along to the show. So it's easy to get that. Just book online at stardome.org.nz, or you can phone 624-1246 and book by phone if you like.
Excellent.
Was there anything else that sprung to mind, event-wise or local news-wise?
Well, on last Friday there was an asteroid that was sort of making news that it was going to be whizzing past us. The reason for that, well, it wasn't so much it was coming close, because it's actually over 18 times further away than the moon. But the fact is that it was over 5 kilometres in size. So something like that hitting the Earth would do much more damage than one of North Korea's bombs. You know?
Would it still, would a 5 kilometre across asteroid get through the atmosphere in some way, shape or form?
Absolutely. It would go through the atmosphere and hit the surface in about 10 seconds.
Gee whiz.
Okay, how big would it be when it hit Earth?
it's not about how big it is, it's the speed. It's going at over 13 kilometres per second.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's faster than spacecraft that are launched to other planets. So it's that kinetic energy that it brings that's more important than the actual size of the asteroid. Size is important as well, of course, but it's the speed that does the damage. But the funny thing is that in October there's going to be one that's only 16 meters in size, so a tenth of the size or so. But it's going to come much closer, a tenth of the distance to the moon. So that's about the distance that the Sky satellite are up in space that send our TV pictures down to us.
Mm.
So much closer. But any of them, big ones, small ones, hitting us is a potential catastrophe.
Totally.
So astronomers are looking for all of them and trying to find out which ones might hit us and figure out what to do if that happens.
I'm still more concerned about North Korea, though.
At the moment, yes.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much, Peter. David. David, we'll get better at this, no doubt. we'll catch you perhaps next Tuesday for Spaced Out.
I look forward to it.
Cheers, man.
Thanks very much. Bye.
Thank you.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.